Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love, October 5th, 2013. And I've got the information guideline orientation for the show today up at the Cosmic Love website. You can click on that link. There's three articles I'm going to be discussing today regarding this, what I would refer to as a healthcare dawning series. I'm going to go through, you might say, darkest before the dawn, the scenarios now, and whether Obamacare is to the rescue or not. That would kind of be in everyone's interest to what's going on with this healthcare thing that was launched. The Affordable Care Act was launched here October 1st, this last week. So a lot of people are thinking about it, not everyone. Some people have got their opinion, their minds made up on what this is all about and aren't interested in hearing anymore. But I'm going to be going into it in terms of mini history synopsis of how we got here and some self-evident solutions for optimal public health. Now, this is something I've been very interested for a long time, having developed three holistic health centers over about 33 years and working on the new frontier of healthcare with ultramolecular medicine, energy medicine, and electrodiagnostics in my last center. Which is the whole paradigm of the energy of health rather than the chemistry of disease. And so I've been kind of on the cutting edge, you might say the bleeding edge, because you can only go so far with holistic health in a high-profile way to where you're targeted in America, because we don't have a healthcare system. We have what's actually 97.5% disease care system, where it's almost like a competitive thing that the disease care system doesn't want the true health care, or could people wouldn't get sick and it would put the disease care system out of business. Well, that's kind of the extreme view of it. But some people that have been in the trenches and got shot down for raising the standard of holistic health care wouldn't say it's so extreme. They'd say it's more like reality. But anyway, how we get through this, this understanding of where we're at and where we're going with a vision of virtue and valor for the victory of new standards for holistic universal self-care, what that looks like, how that works, you might say the dawning of a new healthcare system. Of course, this is all kind of wrapped up into the dawning of the next economy based on the economics of abundance rather than the economics of scarcity. And I'll be going into that also because it's all related. It's like you've got an economy based on the creation and management of debt, and you've got an economy based on the creation and management of disease. And that's what we've got. The understanding of that's what I'm going to go through. So the series of articles I've provided on the homepage and the link, and in the future, if you're listening to this article in the archives, I'll include this link to these articles so you can get a frame of reference for the problem and the solution. You know, how bad things are, how good things could be, and why you might say now I'd like to think it's darkest before the dawn of a new public health care system worldwide. Because with the internet, of course, there is no time or space. It's a global village, and the family of man is waking up to the capabilities of the internet to provide everyone globally universal self-care, a database model for the analysis, prevention, and treatment of all disease that anyone can go into. It's free online service. This is the capability now. Again, this is all. This could be done, and only economics and politics keeps it from happening so far, or perhaps someone just didn't connect the dots and get the big picture of how this could work with the technology that's installed and operational now. I mean, if you think about it, we've got people worldwide, about 3 billion of them, who are connected to the Internet now. Many of them in third world countries only have a smartphone, but the smartphones are like mini computers that can connect to the Internet and could access this web page that I'm referring to and get information free and online that would be very definitive for specific health conditions and what's working best, whether it be homeopathic, naturopathic, chiropractic, allopathic, or some eclectic combination of all these different healthcare modalities that are recognized, you know, worldwide. So here we have the opportunity, but most people can't see the opportunity because they can't see past the problem. In other words, the problem is so systemic with the disease care system that people think is healthcare that they don't even realize there's a problem. So, I mean, this is what we're faced with, and this is where we're at now, but it's shifting. People worldwide are waking up because of the Internet. They've got these platforms, whether it be smartphones or iPads or tablets or laptop computers or their desktop computers are connecting to the World Wide Web, and they're finding out what I'm referring to is that the Internet now provides the vehicle whereby everyone could have informed choice. And you might say informed choice isn't just a public option. It is the foundation of any kind of enlightened democratic civilization where people have freedom of choice. So without informed choice, without freedom of in choice, you have no freedom at all, basically. And, of course, the idea or the intent is to provide informed choice services, not just with our elections and who we're electing, you know, free and open elections, which all advanced civilized countries have, but also informed choice services regarding one's personal health, one's personal self-care. So the concept of free and online services that provide that service is not a stretch. It would be common sense. And I've looked at different database models, online web services before, that are out there now, and most of them have been co-opted by the allopathic medical standard of drugs per symptom medicine, which was created as community standard medicine back in 1913 after lobbying by the Rockefellers to get politicians on board that the community standard medicine would be drugs for whatever ails you. And it was legislated about 1913, the Flexner Report. So about the same time as the Federal Reserve Bank was instituted to co-opt the Treasury of the United States. Of course, the Federal Reserve is privately owned. And just as the banking system was co-opted about that time, so was the healthcare system. Most people don't realize that. And we've had a debt-based economic system by way of the privately owned Federal Reserve Central Bank, just as we've had a disease care system called healthcare, prescribing drugs for whatever ails you since the same time, about 100 years ago, 1913. So, interesting times, and it's a critical time. The public health care crisis in America is extremely critical now. In comparison to all other industrialized nations, the U.S. healthcare system is ranked most expensive with the worst record of public health in the civilized world. All the advanced civilized countries that are out there have better records of public health for their citizens, and they're less expensive than the American system. So we have millions of Americans dying prematurely because of this. And there's no excuse for this other than the horrendous abuse of power by a highly organized cartel of moneyed power that profits from debt, the disease, and virtually death of the abundant life. And you could say it's a plot out of frickin' hell, excuse my language. But anyway, back on July 26, 2000, the Journal of the American Medical Association, AMA, a journal, published a landmark paper by Dr. Barbara Starfield from Johns Hopkins School of Public Health that was called Is the U.S. Health Really the Best in the World? Now, in it, Starfield revealed that many people inside the medical establishment, what they already knew. Every year, like clockwork, the medical system was killing huge numbers of people, and it still is. Each year in the U.S., as Dr. Starfield reported, there are 12,000 deaths from unnecessary surgeries, 7,000 deaths from medications in hospitals, 20,000 deaths from other errors in hospitals, 80,000 deaths from infections acquired in hospitals, 106,000 deaths from FDA-approved, correctly prescribed medicines. Now, the total of medically caused deaths in the U.S. every year is estimated at 225,000 people. Deaths caused by modern medicine, the allopathic disease care system. And that's conservative. This makes the medical system in America the third leading cause of death behind heart disease and cancer. Now, in the wake of Starfield's devastating report, other facts came to light. 2.1 million people in America every year are hospitalized as a result of reactions to FDA-approved medications. And annually, 36 million serious adverse reactions to those drugs also occur. So this information comes from John Rappaport, and in the paper I provided, there's a link to the article where this came from. And in that article, he says, that, and this is a quote, "If you have a system that is already killing a huge number of people, and you make that system bigger and bring millions more people under the same umbrella, the death toll will accelerate." Well, that should be common sense. But in other words, the dawn of public health standards with free online universal self-care worldwide is an idea that has definitely found its time. This is the darkest before the dawn scenario. You know, it's got to get a certain level of, you know, where people, the problem becomes self-evident, where people are really looking for a definitive solution. Back in 2008, Obama, the former Senator Obama, was elected as president amidst great hope for change, promoting the public option for public health that represented health freedom. Now, before he was elected, he touted the public option on his campaign website and spoke frequently in support of a single-payer Medicare-for-all system that virtually all of the highly civilized nations worldwide have already provided their citizens for a modest sum. This was before Obama was baptized, you might say, into the world of Washington politics, where the corrupt collusion of Congress with K Street has created a revolving door between corporate lobbies and congressional offices. This is where the politics and economics are more complex than the science or the public intent and interest in universal health care. So in the last two decades, about half of all former congressional representatives who were not reelected became corporate lobbyists who influenced, to this day, Congress 24/7. And we get to vote out corrupt politicians every few years, but then they get paid big money as lobbyists who write legislation for giant corporations who contribute to the reelection campaigns of their former Congress buddies who passed the laws. You know, it's like quid pro quo. You know, I'll give you money to get reelected, but if you get reelected, you know, I want you to pass these laws that I've been having my lobbyists rewrite for you. So this is the way it works. But, and so the newly elected President Obama back in 2008, he had 99% of the public behind him, but the 1% power brokers at headquarters, you might say, you know, the District of Columbia outer belt, he had the 1% of these power brokers in front of him. And all the big money of big insurance, big pharma, big media, which all profit from big disease, said no way to any public option for health freedom. I mean, they wanted disease care profits. I mean, if you think about it, if health freedom were taken to the extreme with our optimal health liberated, all known disease could be virtually eliminated, putting the disease profiteers out of business. I mean, a sick America has been good for the disease profiteers, and they were uniting in fighting for a monopoly control, no public option. So Obama capitulated. I mean, what would you have done? You know, you've got you have to. This is the way things are done. Big money runs D.C. Beltway politics. I mean, higher powers than Obama's pay grade let him know in no uncertain terms that the medical industrial complex would thrive or else. Now, that came straight down from the same bankster overlords who later stripped the equity out of American homes and then bailed out themselves after almost collapsing the economy. We're looking at power on greed steroids as no boundaries when checks and balances have been bought off by money that was extorted from a trusting populace in the first place. So this is what Obama faced. He raised the flag of the public option, you know, which was like informed choice, freedom of choice in healthcare, and he got shot down. He wanted to represent us, I believe that, or he wouldn't have floated the idea in the first place. And again, what would you have done if you basically had, all these wolves around you, basically billionaires with huge amounts of money and resources in these giant mega corporations that are all making a killing on the creation and management of disease, saying, no, we don't want a real healthcare system, you know. So Obama, even to this day, finds himself at the mercy of the same power elite collusion between big government and big business. In 2010, the Supreme Court granted personhood to this new corporatocracy. It was the Citizens United decision it was called Citizens United, but it was like the Citizens United decision of the Supreme Court was like the Patriot Act. I mean, it was unpatriotic, just as the Patriot Act was unpatriotic, the Citizens United decision basically divides to conquer what's left of informed choice. In other words, you haven't got any. Big money from billionaires claiming corporate personhood was given a free pass for not only rigging elections, but also rigging health care. So now we see corporate law, whereby wherever profits are at stake, shareholders come before the public, is directly pitted against constitutional law, which is, you know, public service above all. So this is a little backstory. And again, the dawn of universal self-care in America and globally through the internet will come when it dawns on, you know, we the people that informed choice is the heart of health freedom. And if information wants to be free for health as well as for healthy self-governing institutions. Again, we haven't got informed choice. We haven't got any freedom at all. So the public option for health freedom is like the public option for freedom in general. It requires well-informed choice based on good intention for and attention to a process for organizing information in formation, recycling general knowledge in the way that generates specific wisdom with a heart. Sometimes referred to heart coherence, and there's a link there, and I've had several articles on heart coherence as a standard, a universal standard. That's an actual golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm, a lot of science with it, and how heart coherence is basically the heart of the universe from an atomic level to a galactic level. It's a frequency of holy compassion that is systemic in all creation. So we can only do better. We can only do better, you know, culturing civility with optimal health when we know better, or as an ascended Forrest Gump might say, enlightenment is what enlightenment does. So consider what health assurance policies will look like. Health assurance, not insurance, health assurance policies will look like when it dawns on the world that we can have them now. So this is where I'm going. I'm still kind of slogging through the darkest before the dawn scenarios, but bear with me. Those who tuned in late, this is Christopher Rudy for Cosmic Love, October 5th, 2013. And I'm giving an orientation to a series of articles on healthcare dawning, global, holistic, universal healthcare with health assurance policies, what that will look like, how that will work. I'm kind of slogging through the heavy stuff now. We're going to be getting to the light stuff here before too long. So, again, the darkness I'm slogging through still shrouds Washington, D.C., and I've heard that D.C. stands for District of Criminals. And we're not out of the D.C. thicket yet. We all know that Congress deregulated the banks and then bailed them out when they almost collapsed the economy from their shared greed and corruption, you know, between Congress and the banksters. I mean, they almost did us in economically. But none of these political potentates or kingpins in the corporatocracy were imprisoned. They still rule in Congress or K Street or behind the scenes of their corporate empires. You'll never hear this in the corporate media. I mean, this is heresy. You just never hear this in the corporate media. And guess who butters their bread? Ah. So fortunately, enlightened netizens worldwide realized that free online universal self-care and inexpensive health assurance policies will elevate informed choice to a level where wholeness, wellness, holistic health becomes the gold standard for the global currency of conscience underwriting the next economy, in which the abundant life thrives with universal health care as a global health assurance policy. So this is a solution that heals or otherwise neutralizes the sick system. To appreciate what that looks like and to make it so, with your intent to manifest this vision as your own, hang in there. I'm getting there. So this the next paper goes into it more specifically in terms of navigating public health care options from a debt and disease system to free online health care. So we're going to go into that now. And some of you probably know, if you've kind of tuned into what's going on with the launch of the Affordable Care Act, October 1st, sometimes referred to as Obamacare. Actually, Obama has referred to it quite proudly as Obamacare, so this isn't a prerogative or a pejorative here. Obamacare is used by Obama himself with great pride, sometimes referring to his program. So tens of thousands of these navigator jobs are being implemented nationwide to service the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. They're called navigators. And in a previous article on Obamacare navigators, the first, this is the first 8-minute video by Ben Swan, Truth and Media, at a link I provided on this second part article. And that link is on Obamacare Navigators, and you can watch the video. It's an 8-minute video by Ben Swan. And he explains how the massive government computer database for public health care has now gone live. This was October 1st, like I said, this last week. So you've got millions of uninsured Americans are now signing up on health insurance exchanges with the assistance of navigators who are being hired nationwide without background checks and a minimal 20 to 30 hours of online training. So we got tens of thousands of these navigators will be entering your most sensitive banking information and healthcare records into the giant database that numerous government agencies can access in collusion with the NSA. Well, they can access anything they want anyway, anytime. So the video, that 8-minute video, also reveals how this sign-up process is being used for voter registration. It's very interesting. It's very specific on how this is being done in California and other states. California has a very specific program for this, and are emphasizing the voter registration with the sign-up with this with healthcare by way of these Obamacare navigators. So now realize that the Democratic Party has developed its own massive database of community organizers who helped get Obama elected. So they have their own in-house list of nationwide activists to contact Acorn, for example, for offering this well-paying government job that registers voters who don't have health insurance, mostly of which are of a Democratic demographic, which kind of looks like vote rigging to me. So you can see why Republican constitutionalists are saying this far and no further. I mean, and this is also why the embedded mainstream media talking heads make these Tea Party Republicans look like fools. I mean, the story here of what's going on with the power grab through this healthcare thing, with thousands and thousands of pages of fine-lined, you know, laws and regulations, to basically, in this case, pretty evident, it's expanding the Democratic base for the next election dramatically. So don't expect much resistance to Obamacare from mainstream media. They're all tied in with this. And the reason for this is the giant corporate media conglomerate networks receive about $3.2 billion per year in ad revenue from Big Pharma and the medical industrial complex. Boy, they love Medicare, and they're not going to bite the hand that feeds them. You know, the hand of big medicine and big pharma is where, you know, big media gets their big bucks. So all the civilized nations of the world where good conscience rules have outlawed the pushing of drugs on public television. And that's because it profits from disease rather than disease prevention. The incentives are wrong. The intent is wrong. It's frickin' evil. Again, excuse the language there. So this corruption is a representative government is now the pathological or sociopathic norm, as explained in the second short video at Obamacare Navigators. Now, you can watch that on your own. I'm not going to play it right now. I want to get through enough material here. I'm almost halfway through the show anyway. So this system of abject self-serving corruption is rapidly self-destructing. It's imploding with debt, disease, and destruction of the American way that no longer shines as a model of freedom and opportunity for the world. But it could. And it can. I mean, it can very, very quickly. Things can turn around very rapidly. All it takes is enough good people saying, enough is enough. I mean, we've got a solution if we just put, you know, if we just make it so. So the only way we can self-correct in the future is to see our way out of the core pathology with a clear and present opportunity for culturing universal self-care for all. So I'm going to go into what this universal self-care means. But first, a little bit more on you might say how to strike the root of the problem. You know, the pathology, the entrenched pathological system that's being self-perpetuated, you know, the profit from debt and disease. So there's a thinning of the veil going on. When I say thinning of the veil, you know, I've talked about this in a lot of shows. You can say it's the internet waking people up because there's a collective conscience that's emerging out of the internet. There's a new social conscience in our social networks, and people are waking up. Call it thing of the veil. I'd like to refer to the astrology psychology of all this. What's going on? Been going on with the galactic alignment and the accelerating rate of change in all our social, political, and economic institutions from the inside out. You know, with consciousness evolution, revolution from the surge in the quantum field with galactic alignment. And that's a stretch for some people. I've gone into it a lot in former shows. Those who listen on a regular basis know what I'm referring to. But in any regard, there's a pathology being unveiled behind the creation of debt and disease, which is now that system is self-destructing, and a new system will emerge. You can say that the line between social media and traditional media has been blurring, but the focus on truth has been increasingly exposed. As exposing, number one, the systemic problem of big money incentives for the creation and management of public debt, and two, the systemic problem of big money incentives for the creation and management of public disease. So, who's in control here? Who owns and controls the Beltway, D.C. District of Criminals? So here's a question for you. When the U.S. government borrows $1 trillion from the privately owned Federal Reserve, where does the privately owned Federal Reserve get the $1 trillion to loan to the U.S. government? the answer. The Fed creates a quote-unquote credit in the amount of $1 trillion in the account of the U.S. Treasury at the Federal Reserve. And the Treasury then writes its check on that account. To get that check created out of thin air, the U.S. Treasury Department has to render or has to tender to the privately owned Fed as collateral $1 trillion worth of U.S. government bonds. And then, and this is the best part, the American taxpayer and subsequently generations yet unborn get to pay hundreds of billions of dollars in interest on those bonds in perpetuity. So the United States pays $1.2 trillion interest each year to the privately owned Fed for loans created out of thin air. And you can imagine that when a lender is getting that amount of money each year and more from all the other countries that borrow from them, that the puny U.S. Senate and U.S. Congress is not going to be sticking its neck out to fight this racket. I mean, Washington, D.C. has over 1,000 hitmen looking for contracts, and they always side with the highest bidder. So, who owns and controls the Beltway District of Criminals? I mean, this is another different way of looking at this. There's a good article there that I provide a link to called Money Owned and Owned and Owed, The Two Faces of Money. And this is a background that goes through what I've been talking about how money is created out of thin air, and we're then obliged to pay interest on that. It's a privately owned cartel, J.P. Morgan, Rothschilds, the primary owners of the Federal Reserve Bank, along with Goldman Sachs. And anyway, we're talking about, you know, billions and trillions of dollars revolving through, recycling through the Beltway, D.C. Beltway. And here's the questions Americans should be asking. Well, the question Americans should be asking is not whether to raise the debt ceiling, but rather why the federal government, which is authorized by the Constitution to create and issue interest-free money, instead borrows that money at interest from a privately owned central bank, thereby plunging future generations of Americans into debt slavery to that bank. So that's the real question Americans should be asking. You know, follow the money. How are we being basically all taxed from a system where our taxes go to paying the interest on loans that, again, our government, by the Constitution, was never supposed to make to private special interests in the first place, you know, loans from private special interests. So this is where it gets interesting. While President Obama was a senator, this is what he said. He said, "The fact that we are here today to debate raising America's debt limit is a sign of leadership failure. It is a sign that we now depend on ongoing financial assistance from foreign countries to finance our government's reckless fiscal policies. Increasing America's debt weakens us domestically and internationally. Leadership means that the buck stops here. Instead, Washington is shifting the burden of bad choices today onto the backs of our children and our grandchildren. America has a debt problem and a failure of leadership. Americans deserve better." That was Senator Barack Obama back in March 2006, before he was elected in 2008. So here's where it gets interesting. Joseph Farah, WorldNet Daily, major writer, WorldNet Daily, one of the owners of WorldNet Daily, says that, "I doubt there is any statement Obama has ever made in public life with which I agree more than the one he made 7 years ago in casting a vote to oppose a hike in the debt limit. He was 100% right then." Now, is he 100% right now to want to raise the debt limit? Obama is calling those who refuse to raise the debt limits, deadbeats. So what did that make him in 2006 when he opposed raising the debt limit to exceed $8 trillion for the first time in American history? And what does that make him today now that he has presided over a doubling of the red ink to $17 trillion? So deception on this issue is so deeply embedded in the public psyche that most U.S. citizens now suffer mass delusion regarding not only massive economic deficits, but also massive health deficits, seen in a sick healthcare system that is the most expensive with the least health benefits compared to all other advanced nations worldwide. I mean, the four-tongued, two-faced, double-speak deception is so bad that even our own president said this at the beginning of this recent video. Increasing the debt ceiling does not grow our deficits by a single dime. Let me repeat that. Increasing the debt ceiling does not grow our deficits by a single dime. But I don't get that. I mean, if you increase the debt ceiling, you can say that doing that doesn't increase the deficits by a single dime, but Congress is going to run up the debt to that debt ceiling and then ask to do it again because, as Obama said, different people have said that this has been done more than 45 times. I've heard the figure 100 times where they've increased the debt ceiling, and they keep doing that. So how can you say that increasing the debt ceiling does not grow our deficits by a single dime? Well, here's from that one video. Here's a little clip. You can hear him say it for yourself.
One of the most important things Congress has to do in the next couple of weeks is to raise what's called the debt ceiling. And it's important to understand what this is. This is a routine vote. Congress has taken this vote 45 times to raise the debt ceiling since Ronald Reagan took office. It does not cost taxpayers a single dime. It does not grow our deficits by a single dime. It does not authorize anybody to spend any new money whatsoever.
No, it doesn't authorize them to spend any more money, but they do. they take that authorization unto themselves, and they run it up, the deficit. So, I mean, this is like, if this isn't doublespeak, what is it? I mean, if you believe that more debt doesn't increase the deficits, then welcome to the grand delusion of Obamacare, whereby you are required to pay health insurance with no assurance it will build health and prevent disease, but instead will be highly profitable for a medical industrial complex that profits the more you get sick for treatment. I mean, this creates an incentive for health deficits, for more money for the sick economy through disease care profiteering. The profits from pathological caring for disease more than for health care. So, bottom line here, optimal health is not dependent on disease care. Preventive self-care that builds health is always the common sense worth a pound of treatment. That which builds optimal health, optimal holistic health, will also cure disease naturally when at therapeutic levels. So, health assurance is the best health insurance. I mean, if we have a system of assuring optimal health that prevents disease, well, that's the best insurance. Imagine what that will look like in this next part that I'm going to go into now. So, those who are listening, tuned in late, perhaps it's Christopher Rudy, Cosmic Love, October 5th, 2013. This is a three-part series, Healthcare Dawning series. I'm going into the third part now, which gets very specific about the nature of universal self-care and global health assurance policies with America's Holistic Alliance, which is AHA. And I say that for emphasis because if there's if America's Holistic Alliance can fulfill universal self-care globally through the internet, free online universal self-care with preventive health assurance policies, where we don't get sick as much and recover quicker when we do because we have optimal health, that's a big aha. You know, so I put that emphasis on with the American Holistic Alliance, AHA! Because that's the acronym, and that's basically the name and the flame are the same. So I'm referencing here something big is about to happen worldwide. It's happening. It's in process. There's a metamorphosis going on. The chrysalis is coming out of the cocoon. The gray grudge, whatever that stuff is, that a caterpillar goes into the cocoon and dissolves into a gray gunge-like stuff, and a butterfly emerges out of it. And that's kind of like civilization's doing right now. I mean, Thomas Paine had this vision where the metamorphosis of civilization back in 1776 in the most successful political pamphlet in history, Common Sense, when he said, "The cause of America is in a great measure the cause of all mankind. We have it in our power to begin the world over again." Well, this is what's going on in America right now, in the world. Now, when I say America's Holistic Alliance, people think I'm being local rather than global, but in fact, America, you take the word America, and it's not an acronym, but it's an anagram for the I Am race. If you scramble the letters, you know, anagrams of an America, you get the I Am race worldwide. The I Am race is the race of individuals who are aligned with their I Am presence, which is like the spirit of I Am, I Can, I Will, and by God's grace, done deal, winning from the beginning, the I Am race, America, worldwide. So that's, you might say, the mystical vision of America that Thomas Paine obviously said when he said that the cause of America is in a great measure the cause of all mankind. Well, that was never more true than with the global village now, with the instant everywhere interactive internet. I mean, we're all connected. Time and space have been eliminated. You know, it's like with the internet, everywhere in the world, there are at least the 3 billion netizens that are online with their smartphones and their tablets and their desktop and laptop computers. They can access an information database that provides this information that I'm going to go into, an information database for building health and preventing disease with universal self-care policies that also have physician care cooperative tied in with it, and I'm going to go into that. So basically what I'm saying is that a new common sense is emerging for the family of man in our new global village of instant, everywhere, interactive telecommunication capabilities. Global humanity is now finishing what U.S. founders began with united common sense. But the evolution, revolution today is one of higher consciousness, or somewhat sometimes referred to as unity conscience or collective conscience. And the intent is to culture our conscientious common sense. The vision for doing this follows the focus of our attention and the retention of care with telecom and telecare, you know, instant everywhere, interactive, informed choice services will empower wisdom with love for our conscious ascension. The healing of healthcare will naturally follow. So that's kind of the introduction to what I'm going to go into now. I'm going to go into the specifics of this and how this works. Those who have read the links in Part 1 and Part 2 are aware that America's Holistic Alliance, or AHA!, is the networking arm of United Self-Care. It's a public-private partnership of users and sponsors of universal self-care and health assurance policies. So what I'm referring to is networking, the networking arm of United Self-Care are involved with networking for the net worth of global netizens with enlightened self-interest in self-correcting, self-governance, and self-healing of a holistic self-elevation, or, you know, quote-unquote self-elevation as salvation nature. In other words, our salvation is self-elevation, you know, to come up higher, basically to get our act together with unity conscience, conscientious common sense globally, with information databases that provide informed choice services for building health and preventing disease. This isn't rocket science. It would be common sense already if there were not so many special interests with a vested interest in keeping common sense uncommon. Fortunately, a new global net reality with the internet has reached a critical mass of netizens worldwide who have been networking for the net worth of common sense. There's nothing more valuable than a vision that has found its time, said Victor Hugo. So take a walk through the vision of free online universal self-care and how it will serve approximately 3 billion global netizens who are now online with smartphones, tablets, laptops, and desktop computers worldwide. The infrastructure is installed and ready. So here's what the public option of informed choice will look like. In other words, if we're going to have informed choice with healthcare as a public option, if we're going to have health freedom, this is what it will look like. Anyone in the world who is connected to the World Wide Web will be able to go to the website for United Self-Care, which is under construction. And health assurance policies will be introduced in the process. Health assurance policies, whereby you don't get sick as much. And if you do get sick, since your immune system is stronger, you recover quicker. So, United Self-Care, USC, is an alliance of healthcare practitioners, leaders, and users of a highly personalized cloud source model for self-care. I'll go into what I mean by cloud source. And providing informed choice services, ICS, informed choice services, as defines health assurance standards for the analysis, prevention, and treatment of disease. New standards for a new health assurance industry with health assurance policies. And we're talking assurance rather than insurance here. So consider how this will work. Consider how the decentralized public option for self-care compares to the centralized healthcare monopoly called Obamacare. I mean, it's pretty black and white here when you connect the dots. I'm going to take a drink. Excuse me. When you enter the free online website for USC, United Self-Care, you won't have to register or enter your name. All the highly personalized self-care information for any health condition is available for your consideration. Well-informed choice is a public option, as it should be. The more specific your interest with well-informed choice options, the more definitive the results. Let me explain that. There's lots of general information on the website for common sense health tips for the most asked questions, you know, Q&A, question and answer about health. But you also have the option of entering your metabolic type, your blood type, through a personalized portal, you know, like a kind of a gateway. You know, there's a link, you go into that gateway for your blood type, where you can see what health care modalities are working best for all humans who have the same blood type. In other words, this is highest denominator self-care rather than lowest common denominator one-drug-fits-all disease care. This is based on the model of highest common denominator of people that have, you know, other people that have the same blood type and metabolic type as you do, are, you know, which reacts differently from everyone else to different healthcare modalities of treatment. So it's highly individualized, personalized, and customized in this way. But again, you don't have to register. You don't have to, you know, give up your name and your personal information to do this. You can do it anonymously. Just go in and get the information, and this is where it gets good. This provides information on the best and worst foods for your genetic pool of bioindividuality, and also an empirical results-oriented database that clearly shows which modalities of healthcare are most effective as remedies for two whatever specific health conditions you are concerned with. Now, this is important. You know, the idea that you have a biological individuality, and you have different blood types have different metabolic types. There's different foods that are best for different metabolic types, and different foods that are worst. And when you know that, it makes a huge difference. I mean, I would think this should be taught in grade school based on your blood. You know, highly individualized, personalized. You know, the self care. You know, what's ideal for eating for your blood type. Well, anyway, the technology has got us to this point where people can access this information freely and very easily and integrate it in their diet. So, again, this will provide, this database will provide the modalities of healthcare that are most effective as remedies for whatever specific health symptoms you are concerned with. I mean, the remedies could be homeopathic, naturopathic, chiropractic, allopathic modalities, or some eclectic combination that has evidence of efficacy. Excuse me. So, then you could use this service, putting in the health symptoms of anyone in your family who needs help. So this free online informed choice service, referred to as ICS, service, informed choice services, is unique in the way it defines what's working best, you know, as an efficacy, through a collaborative alliance of healthcare professionals and users of this service who share the results with simple reporting protocols. And this is where the people that are in support of this service, not just for themselves, but really want to help others with reporting the results that they got back to the database, there's a way to do that also. And it's like the service that they render is providing a report. And again, it doesn't have to be personal in terms of their name or any personal information, but a report of for whatever health condition or profile of symptoms that they had, what they did and what results they got, so it can go back into the database and provide more empirical results-based evidence of what's working best for different body types, you know, blood types, metabolic types, and different current symptom profiles. So this alliance I just referred to between health care professionals and users of the service is what is called AHA, America's Holistic Alliance. This is the alliance. And the alliance provides numerous applications, apps they're called, AHA apps, for personalized health assessment and choice fulfillment. In other words, finding, once you know what's working best, how to either access the nutritional supplements or the holistic or the medical practitioner, if it's indicated that you need more specific information from a medical, you know, doctor or healthcare provider that's in the area, that's local, that information for different cooperating, the alliance of collaborating doctors and providers of different supplements, services, resources are also indicated. So basically the bottom line here is what's working best for self-care becomes increasingly self-evident as the AHA cloud or database. And when people refer to the cloud, they're talking about a database that can be accessed from multiple sources. Again, this could be your smartphone, it could be your laptop, your desktop computer. And this database matures in three different ways. Number one, user feedback with reporting protocols that clearly define the parameters of results. In other words, how long it took you to get results, what kind of results you got, etc. And number two, practitioner feedback, you know, healthcare practitioner feedback with more extensive analysis and reporting protocols. You know, like health professionals can they have equipment with their diagnostics, they can give much, in their tests, they can give much more specific analysis and reporting protocols with more advanced resources that they have. And number three, efficacy guidelines that represent the full spectrum of health modalities as documented by their respective professional associations. In other words, homeopaths, naturopaths, chiropractors, they have professional associations. Medical doctors, AMA, they have their professional associations. They can agree among themselves and from their records, you know, what kind of results they get for what specific treatment modalities. And again, that can go back into the databases. So you've got user feedback, you've got practitioner feedback, you've got professional association feedback that adds to the database, indicating what's working best. So these applications that are available, these AHA apps for optimal health, are important. They provide your own personalized, you might say, portal or gateway to these information service where you can go directly to them rather than have to jump through several loops, you know, putting in your metabolic type or your blood type. So the concept here is basically of creating optimal health. This process with the Alliance, America's Holistic Alliance, will include an interactive interface for real-time communication with numerous healthcare support groups. So this is an important part of it. There's more information on the website. I'm going to have to give a wrap here in a few minutes. I want to thank everyone for listening. There's more details on this, how this works, just a little bit. If you want to finish up reading it on your own, highly recommend it. Provide a health assurance policy that you can order right now through a bottle of Swedish pollen extract. There's information on that and what that looks like, how that works. So I want to thank everyone for listening. I'm going to have to call it, make a wrap for this week. See you in a couple weeks. We're going to have a special speaker on in 2 weeks. Do You Quantum Think? Diane Collins, her amazing book. We'll be sending out more information on emails. So I'll be getting more information out to you on that, and I'm thankful for your listening, and hope to have you on air with me here in a couple weeks when Diane Collins gives when I have an interview with her. So thank you very much. Bye-bye for now.